Hi, this is Martin Casals, a.k.a. Marty the Moth from Lucha Underground, and you're watching the Oversell Podcast.
It is episode 126. We're looking back at the greatest Royal Rumble. Got some questions on Twitter from you, our listeners, and I guess we'll talk about Backlash. This is the Oversell Podcast! Politics bore me. Your demeanor is that of a pouty child. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek, not Thanos.
I am Mike.
And we're here to talk a little professional wrestling and the biggest movie opening weekend ever happened this weekend with starring a professional wrestler or former professional wrestler since the WWE doesn't want to return his calls about coming back.
Yeah, apparently.
Dave Bautista, part of Avengers Infinity War, and holy shit.
The biggest movie ever.
I mean, that movie was just fucking amazing.
And there will be spoilers. Yes. So if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, here we go. All right, we'll probably talk about this for, I would say, if you don't want any Infinity War spoilers, you can fast forward probably 5-10 minutes.
Probably closer to 10.
Probably closer to 10. And we're going to start talking about Infinity Wars in 3, 2, 1. Oh my God, that fucking ending of that movie, I mean...
I'm glad they included that, because, I mean, that was straight from the comics.
Yeah. Let's talk about everything in between. You know, I think each person in the MCU got a fair amount of screen time.
Yeah.
I love the opening of it.
I mean, it just started with Ruckus and death.
I mean, Hulk gets fucked up by Thanos to where...
he's scared for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and that's, you know, he would not come out again, and it's just crazy seeing the Hulk scared, because at first he got a couple licks in on Thanos,
oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Thanos, being the Titan that he is, did not like it. The return of Captain America to the Avengers, and Romanov, and all those... was done brilliantly. It's going to interesting to see, because I think Ant-Man and the Wasp come out in June.
Right.
It's going to be interesting.
Actually, I think it's July. It's like the first weekend in July, I think.
So I'm going to guess that probably at the end of that movie, we'll see some repercussions in that movie from the...
Hopefully.
I
read that it technically happens before Infinity War.
Okay.
Like, chronologically, like, right before.
Okay. Then the after credit scene may be something that involves.
Could be.
When everyone rallies in Wakanda, and all the battles are starting up there, and this is not exaggeration, I started getting goosebumps up and down my arms. I moved to the edge of my seat. I was like, this is getting fucking epic. This battle is going to be awesome. From the chance of all the Wakandans, just seeing Captain America and all them running headfirst in battle. And sorry, Shaggy, Black Panther was kicking a lot of ass.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to Shaggy and find out what his hatred for Black Panther is.
He has a weird work schedule, so we'd have to record late one night to get him. But he's always welcome to come on this show. And he can tweet us at Oversell Podcast, at Derek Oversell, at WolfMike23 to let us know. What I would love to dig into the psyche that is why Shaggy hates, as he calls him, African Catman.
Yeah.
So many subplots to Doctor Strange getting sucked out into space, and Peter Parker and Tony Stark going to help him, and Tony, or the new Spider-Man suit, that gave me a little bit of a chill too.
Yeah, Iron Spider.
That was badass. The new Iron Man suit that was all nanotechnology.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. I liked how they things that they showed in the trailer didn't happen in the movie. Like, it was just kind of teasers of, you know, this is kind of what to expect. But, I mean, like, the big scene that ended the trailer where they're in Wakanda, obviously, all, like, it looks like they're running through the jungle out and you see Hulk and, you know, everybody at once. That scene never happened because Hulk never showed up.
A little bit of misdirection there, which is good. Yeah. And we got to see the Hulkbuster armor again, though.
And something else that was that they changed from the trailer to the movie, you know, the big scene where Thanos has his hand down on Captain America and, you know, he's just struggling. In the trailer, he only has two Infinity Stones. But at that point in the movie,
he had all six.
Yeah.
Or he had five.
He had five of them at that point.
What else? I mean, there's tons of stuff that happened in that movie. Thor got a new hammer.
Yeah.
Stormbringer.
Axe hammer thing.
What's it, Stormbringer or something like that?
Stormbreaker, yeah.
Stormbreaker. And that actually, I've got a little thought about that. The hammer Stormbreaker was Groot's arm, which means Groot, you know, it's. I wonder if that affects the hammer with Groot
right.
disintegrating at the end with tons of other characters. If that affects the hammer at all.
I don't know.
It's an interesting
since you know, he technically cut off his arm for that and it stayed. I don't know. But I mean you would think that yeah, that's what would happen. That it would just disintegrate and you just have the head of the hammer or whatever. But I think that's probably one of those things that they're just gonna be like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
you weren't supposed to think of it that way.
Yeah, it was just a thought that crossed my mind.
But Thor was like the MVP of the movie.
Thor, oh man, when Thor brought it, dude, that was awesome. When he joined the Battle of Wakanda and Dr. Banner screamed out, "Oh, you're really screwed now."
Yeah.
I like the children of Thanos. Thought they came across very well.
They've had multiple names in the comics. Typically, they were the Black Order or Cull Obsidian. But they changed the big giant guy. They changed his name to Cull Obsidian in the movie because in the comics he was Black Dwarf. Mm-hmm. And apparently Disney didn't want people yelling out Black Dwarf during the Avengers movie.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Something else I liked, Peter Dinklage was bigger than everyone else.
Yeah, that was awesome. he was a giant dwarf.
Yeah, that's hilarious to me. The character Thanos was very well done. There was just nothing bad about this movie, really, at all. The story was fantastic. The effects were great. The battles were awesome.
And I really like how Iron Man and Captain America haven't met up yet. Like, they still haven't spoken since Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
And they never had screen time together.
And they're going to have to now.
Yeah.
However Tony just gets back to Earth.
Right. Because him and Nebula are still stuck on Titan right now.
What did you think about the interactions between the Guardians and other characters?
Well, I mean, you knew it was going to be comedic.
Right.
You knew that. And, I mean, it started out that way as soon as their first scene on there and you hear Groot, "I am Groot," and apparently he said something very rude.
Whoa!
Yeah. I mean, even Drax looked over in shock.
Yeah, and Thor could speak Groot.
Yeah,
because it's an elective at the an academy,
right.
Asgard,
and Batista was hilarious as always.
I was hoping for a little less comedy from Drax and more just ass whipping.
Right.
Now he got some good licks in on Thanos during that fight, and the ego of Chris Pratt.
Star-Lord.
Or actually the impulsiveness and him not controlling the emotions. Was very well done. Him losing it when he found out Gamora was killed.
Yeah.
Now here's
have you heard about that?
Uh-uh.
How all of the hate tweets that Chris Pratt has been getting to like his Twitter and Instagram.
Are they hating on Star-Lord to Chris Pratt?
Yeah, but I mean they're hating, you know, him for it. They're like, most of them make it seem like it's him who did it. And they're like, "I can't believe it. Spidey was so close. You ruined it. You killed everybody. It's all your fault." I mean, just thousands of these.
And I'm sure he's relishing in each tweet. The emotions of Thanos having to throw Gamora to sacrifice Gamora, something he loved for the Soul Stone.
Right.
Very well done. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see someone like Thanos showing emotion to that level. And as soon as I saw he was crying, I was like, fuck, this is going to be it for Gamora.
Yeah.
And what's different between her death and everyone else's, her death, I don't think she can't come back to life.
Well, that's the final scene. You're led to believe that that's young her.
Well,
you know, talking to him.
Well, but all the other characters, I think, became one with the Soul Stone. She was killed for the Soul Stone, and she didn't fade away. Do you see what I'm trying to say there? Right. So that's why I think she won't be coming back from death.
I think she will, because I think it's on the same lines as being with the Soul Stone, because, you know, the whole question is, you know, sacrificing someone that you love to get what you want, is that really love?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because Peter couldn't make the sacrifice. Well, not Peter. Star-Lord.
Right.
What? His name is Peter,
Peter
too.
Quill. Yeah.
Okay. Peter Quill, Peter Parker. I didn't realize there are two Peters in the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. Pretty crazy, huh?
But the reappearance of Red Skull.
That was cool. Really like it. I like that and before this movie, I was actually watching, now on Sci-Fi, they're showing like Captain America, the First Avengers, so they're starting to show those so MCU movies.
I've seen it over here a couple times while we've been recording.
Yep. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, Red Skull, you were right. We talked about this on the podcast. I thought he was dead. You're like, no, he got transported out into space somewhere. Now he was a guardian of the soul of a stone.
Which was weird. I mean, I wish we could get a little more backstory on that and what happened.
They got plenty of movies to do it.
Yeah.
Now that he is no longer guarding the Soul Stone, maybe he can go after it, start collecting stones.
But did you know that it was not Hugo Weaving?
It seemed like it was CGI. It was very well done.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't even Hugo Weaving's voice. It wasn't him at all.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I can't remember the guy's name. He's currently on Walking Dead right now, but he's...
It's not Negan, is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's the only guy I know.
No. a more minor character.
So in the end, half the universe is destroyed.
Yeah. Half of life.
Yep. It's taken.
Yep.
Some of the characters that were taken shocked the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that they got out of this movie with, spoiler alert, if you're still listening, we're still talking.
Still talking.
So maybe 3 or 4 more minutes. Captain America survived the movie.
Which I really thought he was dead when he took that punch.
Me too. Because
in the comics, that's what took to kill him. Thanos backhanded him in the comics and he died.
Iron Man is still alive.
Yep.
I thought those two were done making these movies. I thought this was going to be the swan song of those two characters. And then I thought Bucky was going to be the new Captain America.
Yeah.
But he faded away in the end.
The two shocking ones that
Peter Parker.
Yeah. And Black Panther.
And Black Panther. Yep. Yep.
Which it sucks because, I mean, it went both ways. It was shocking and it was surprising because going into it, you had an idea of, okay, who definitely was going to survive.
Yeah, and I was completely wrong on everything.
It was great being shocked that way. But then again, it's also a spoiler because you know these characters have more movies coming out.
Right.
And they're not going to be like prequels. So they have to come back.
We know Guardians of the Galaxy has a Volume 3 coming out.
Right.
And all of, but what, one of the Guardians, Nebula, is she considered a Guardian?
I think so.
Okay, so two Guardians survived, Rocket and Nebula.
Yeah.
Who else survived? We said Captain America, Iron Man, Rocket, Gamora.
No, Gamora died. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Nebula. Thor.
Thor, Black Widow.
The Black Widow, you know, that's another one that shocked me. I think that's Doctor Strange is gone.
Yeah, Doctor Strange
is gone. That's another one that shocked. Now,
War Machine survived.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thought. Doctor Strange looked into all the possibilities of what could have happened through the Time Stone, and only one was it. So was this a repercussion of that one?
I think
for
this,
Thanos.
I think this is the one because, you know, his last words were,
"It had to happen.
It had to happen this way."
Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2 comes out next month. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes out this month, yeah. In a couple weeks, actually, I think.
This is the first time we are going to get Cable on the big screen. And Mike, you've known
me. And several of the X-Force characters.
Mike, you've known me for over, what, 16 years now?
A long time.
18 years. Who's my favorite comic book character?
This conversation, I'm saying Cable.
You've known that. Come on, we've had this discussion. Yeah, Cable is my all time favorite comic book guy. And the trailers for Deadpool 2 look great, and I love the one dude that's like not a superhero at all. It's like, okay, you're in. The next scene, you just see him skydiving.
Yeah.
Something else that I don't. Have you seen any of the newest trailers for Deadpool?
Yeah.
The X-Force trailer. Do you see who else was in it?
Oh, Domino is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Shatterstar, apparently.
And if they don't do the swords right, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be the double sword.
Yeah, dude. They had a trailer. They released a video today, and it was Celine Dion singing a song, and it was hilarious. And at the end, Deadpool's like, you're at an 11, and I need you at about a 5, 5.5. She's like, this always goes to 11. So... hilarious. I saw that on Twitter today. Saw the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I really like. And the bad guy character in this one looks
Ghost.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Ghost. So.
And Michelle Pfeiffer is going to be in this one.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Lawrence Fishburne is going to be in it. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And something else about Infinity War. The post-credit scene.
Yes, Captain Marvel.
And that was a shock there, watching Maria Hill and Fury.
Yeah. And man, yeah, that those two really... I could understand
right.
her, but Fury? Wow.
Yeah.
Ballsy.
But he got the message to Captain Marvel.
And it's. I think her movie is going to be set in the 90s.
Yeah, it comes out in March.
And she was abducted by the Kree.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed experiments, and that's how she got her superpower. Right, that's how she got superpowers.
Well, it was something there was. I know one of the versions. I don't know how many versions of it because the comics change
right.
every so often.
Right,
And
they kind of take their own way with some of these characters
right.
too.
The one I read about though, there was another Captain Marvel. He was Mar-Vell, mm-hmm. and there was a big battle or something, a big explosion, and he shielded her from it with the radiation that was. Taking over,
mm-hmm.
and the radiation kind of pushed some of his powers into her, mm-hmm. and that's how she got, Marvel powers.
It's going to be played by Brie Larson.
Yeah.
She's going to be Captain Marvel. And it's going to be interesting, it's going to be before Infinity War, so it's an origin story.
Right.
And God knows people are going to hate on it, because that people love to hate on origin story. I know it's not like one of the best movies in MCU, but... Did you think Captain America, the First Avenger, was a bad movie?
Not at all.
Okay, I agree.
I was surprised with that movie. Like, I was going into that movie thinking...
You were going in, because you had I had the 1989 in my head, the 1989-90 Captain America movie.
Well, no, I just had the whole, okay, it's supposed to be a part of this new, because at the time it was new, this new MCU... But it's going back to, like, World War II, and, I mean, I knew the story of how he was frozen and he came back and all, but I was like, Captain America just didn't seem like that was going to be one of the big characters that would work, movie-wise. But I was thoroughly impressed and surprised.
And if you look at the Captain America movies, Winter Soldier, well, actually, Winter Soldier is now second in the MCU to Infinity War to me, because... Winter Soldier was like the penultimate MCU movie because of the story that was getting it that was when S.H.I.E.L.D.
fell.
Yeah, because
it was infiltrated by Hydra.
And the story behind that, and like the moment you realize that's what happened, like, holy shit, it changed the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I really like the movie. And we actually are at now 20 minutes, so probably need to move on to wrestling.
I knew it would go away because was amazing. Have you seen have you gone to the site to see if you survived Infinity War?
No.
The site, it's like
I'll have to do it when we get done. Well, we take a break here.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's something simple like, I think it's didthanoskill.me. And all it does is when you go to it, when it pops up, it tells you if you survive, if you were spared or if he killed you.
I'm sure I would have gotten killed. That's my luck.
I mean, there's like no trivia or quiz to it. I mean, it just pops up and that's what it says.
I'm going
to
ask you this. You're not really in a, and I mean this in the nicest way, you don't show sad emotions.
Right.
When Peter Parker said to Tony Stark, I don't want to go, did you tear up at all?
No, I didn't tear up.
Did you get sad?
As soon as he started mentioning, I mean, yeah, it was sad, but most of it was shock because, you know, like I said, in my mind, I was like, okay, this is one guy that we know is going to survive, but...
I'm not going to lie.
And
it hit me hard.
It hit a lot of people.
That one really hit me hard.
Yeah.
The fact that, I don't want to go, yeah. Mr. Stark.
And what made his worse than everybody else's is his Spidey sense let him know before it happened. Mm-hmm. So he had an extra few seconds to actually realize what was going on. Mm-hmm. And you know that absolutely destroyed Tony Stark.
Yep.
And that was done so well because they said that the actor, Tom Holland, he improvised that whole thing.
Nice.
None of that was scripted. He just went with it by himself. And they were like, okay, yeah, that's the final cut.
So this is going to lead into a little, we'll start getting into more of a wrestling discussion now. Apparently, Batista wanted to come back to the WWE.
Yep. He wants one final run.
People, the officials in WWE.
The powers that be.
Some people, I know Vince doesn't know what's going on in the outside world outside of the WWE, but there are people in there that do. And the fact that Batista wanted to come back before this movie was released, they could have had tons and tons of chances for promotional activity to tie in this movie bring back Batista. Just, you know, at he could have had a match at WrestleMania. He could have done something at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Or something like that. Or they missed out on a huge opportunity. $640.9 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
And the WWE missed out big time by not having Batista come back, in my opinion. Especially, absolutely. Batista is one of those guys, and like for a while there, I was kind of lukewarm at times on Batista. Sometimes he was just off. When he was a face, that was when I was least interested in Batista because he was so good as a heel.
Yeah.
The stuff he did with Rey Mysterio when he was a heel, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That return when he tried to come back as a face, no.
Yeah. And that was bad timing.
Yeah, and even he said he shouldn't have won that Rumble, no. I think. So WWE missed out on a huge chance for promotional and come see WWE superstar Batista in the biggest movie of all fucking time, you know?
And they could have put that on a poster.
Yeah.
But just because they wouldn't return his calls anymore.
Which, you have to wonder, we all know, so not to get too political, we know the McMahons are tied to Trump. That's common knowledge. And whether you like it, I don't care if you like Trump. I don't care if you hate Trump. That's not what this podcast is all about.
Never will be.
I don't care if you like Batista, where he sits on politics. I don't care if you don't like. I'm not trying to bring. But you have to wonder if the McMahons, being who they are, knowing the political thoughts and ideas that Batista has, if something like that happened.
You never know.
More than likely, that's it. He's probably sent some anti-Trump tweets or something like that, and Vince didn't like it.
But he's Drax. What are you going to do?
He's starting to become a huge movie superstar.
Yeah.
And you have to capitalize on that. They did it with The Rock. They did it with Stone Cold when he had some big major movies.
And Batista, it's a surprise that he is so big now.
He has good range. He really does.
Obviously, getting into the Marvel movies was huge. But, I mean, he's also been in James Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
I know, granted, he's done tons of movies that are, like, straight to video that you've never heard of. I think he was in, like, a newer version of the Kickboxer movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. The Man with the Iron Fist. He was the bronze guy in that.
Yeah.
He was in the Blade Runner sequel. And at first, the guy, when he saw Batista, he didn't think he was going to be good for the character. And then he saw him act. He's like, okay, this guy sold me.
Yeah.
So, just a huge missed opportunity. So now update your wrestling trivia knowledge. What is the number one movie that involves a wrestler? It's going to be Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest Royal Rumble.
And currently, actually, the top three movies right now all have wrestlers in the
top three.
Like grossing, like currently. Yeah, the box office.
So Avengers Infinity War. I'm going to guess one of the Fast and the Furious films.
No, I mean like currently like in theaters.
Oh, so you got Avengers Infinity War. What else is out that involves it? Oh, something with John Cena?
Well, you got Rampage. They just came out with Rock.
Okay.
And then Blockers, the comedy with Cena in it.
Okay.
That's like the top three movies
right now. But no one watches wrestling.
Yeah. You
know? Greatest Royal Rumble was this past weekend. It was an interesting card. It was very roller coastery in that there were some really good moments and some really bad moments.
I still don't understand the whole point of this pay-per-view.
The Saudi government paid a lot of money to get these guys to come to their show.
Yeah.
To do the show there.
But they didn't get who they wanted. Obviously.
Well, two out of the three they wanted are dead. You know, they wanted
Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, and Yokozuna.
Like, well, obviously this Prince guy that wanted the show to come in doesn't realize that two of the three are dead.
But as soon as I read that, the first thing I thought of was Eurotrip. I thought that Saudi Arabia is one of these countries to where they get everything from America late. They were like,
Miami Vice, number one new show.
Number one new show. Stop. How much time?
That was Boris the Blade from Snatch.
Yeah. But I couldn't believe that that's who they want. I mean, do they not watch the product anymore? I mean, surprised they didn't want Hogan.
That Cruiserweight match, I really loved that match.
That was a good match.
Really good. Ceddie Alexander is great as a champion right now. Who'd he wrestle again? It was...
Damn it, if you hadn't asked me.
Yeah. You know. We were driving to Savannah, Georgia, so I was trying to watch it on my phone. I just hadn't had a chance to go back and watch it, but I do know that was a badass match. Mahal and Jeff Hardy was a clinker.
That huge botch.
Oh. That was just horrible. So not a lot of title changes. We did get new Raw Tag Team Champions. That was well done, but you kind of knew. You knew there was no chance that Sheamus and Cesaro, the Bar, would walk out as champions.
Right.
It was Kalisto.
Kalisto, yeah. I couldn't remember his name. I was thinking Salida del Sol, and I couldn't think of the name.
I like that Kalisto is really involved. He moved to the cruiserweight division.
Right.
It's been wonderful, and he's going to be a future cruiserweight champion again. You know, you hope for Neville to come back soon. I saw a video on Facebook I came across, and it was when Neville jacked up his ankle against Jericho, and
they quickly
finished the match. So
and Jericho went off on the ref because the ref didn't
know. They were fine. You know, they got fine after that. John Cena and Triple H had to open the show.
That was a good match.
Yeah, it's a good match. Triple H doesn't have bad matches.
No.
Love or hate the guy.
And, you know, the same for Cena. Cena really doesn't have bad matches, regardless of, you know, five moves of doom or whatever. I mean, his matches always deliver, no matter who he's against.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right, that John Cena. Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy won. Jeff Hardy defeated Jinder Mahal in that clinker. Bludgeon Brothers. Now, some of these I didn't get to see. How was the Bludgeon Brothers match? Was it quick? I would imagine.
It was a fairly short match, but I think it went longer than it should have. I think they should still push the Bludgeon Brothers as just complete monsters. And I mean, it should be at a point right now to where, you know, it doesn't matter that the Usos held the titles for so long. I really think to get the Bludgeon Brothers over, you know, it should be 2, maybe 3 minute squash matches. But, I mean, this one went a decent amount of time, but it wasn't, you know, a long match by any stretch of the imagination.
Whenever the Bar starts going after Bludgeon Brothers, that should be a longer match.
Yeah.
The Bar should be. We'll see how that goes. Seth Rollins kept his IC title.
That was
great.
Ladder match.
I'm so happy Samoa Joe's back. And these four guys are four of the top guys in WWE right now. You've got The Miz, who's just killing it. Wherever he goes, Miz hasn't had a bad match in a long time.
He hasn't had a bad on-screen appearance.
Right. Everything he does is solid gold. 3-4
years.
And it's amazing because this is the guy that was not allowed to dress in the dressing rooms for a long time. And now he's probably a locker room leader.
Yeah.
You know, people probably look up to him from what he's done. What do you think of the double count out for AJ and Nakamura?
I was kind of disappointed in that, but I understand why they did it. Because, I mean, everybody thought that Nakamura was going to win the title at WrestleMania, and he didn't. And then I really think they did this to kind of protect Nakamura. I mean, I think they've got one more title shot here at Backlash, and we'll see how that goes. But I can understand. I mean, yeah, it upset some people that there wasn't a definitive decision, but it kind of saved both of them for now.
Taker defeated Rusev. Kind of new.
Yeah. It was all right. Yeah. Everybody was worried about Aiden English because when he took the tombstone, his head bounced off the mat.
Ooh. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was like a bounce. Like, he took the tombstone and then, like, it's not like it was the initial impact of the tombstone that did it. It's right after the tombstone, like, landed on his knees, then his head kind of dropped down and hit it and everybody got scared, but he was fine.
Brock Lesnar is still your Universal Champion. That shocked the shit out of me.
Well, now there's talk that there's only like 50-something days until he beats CM Punk's record.
WWE's going to be petty. He's going to hold on to it. And he's not. And what's funny is he's not going to defend his title in
those 50
days. He
probably won't defend it for another 50 days.
Yeah, because he's not defending it at Backlash, right?
No.
Another pay-per-view and Universal Champ. Awesome. Braun Strowman won the greatest Royal Rumble. He eliminated Big Cass. And at first, I thought the Titus thing was funny, but I bet you that was we all got worked on it. Titus did that shit on purpose.
I don't know. I mean,
the fact that they're turning it into a bit.
They're doing it, you know, turning it into an angle now on Raw makes you kind of wonder, but that is the kind of thing that they do. It's, you know, everybody saw it. Apparently, Vince was laughing his ass off, like, in gorilla position, but I don't know.
I bet Vince and Titus If
it was a work, I don't see how Titus did it so perfectly. Because, I mean, just a couple inches off and he would have cracked his head on the bottom support beams of the ring.
I think Vince and Titus have a very strange relationship. Yeah. Like, you know, he suspended him.
For grabbing him.
A couple of years ago. Yeah. But now I'm sure him and Titus are best friends. And I don't know. We had the Hiroku Sumi or whatever his name was. So because they wanted Yokozuna, so
yeah,
the best close thing. Were there any other surprise returns in that? Ray was in it.
Rey Mysterio. We already knew Jericho was going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. Which Jericho's returning to NJPW?
He's
this week.
Is it?
Yeah, I think he's going to be wrestling Naito for the Intercontinental IWGP title.
Okay,
that will actually surpass Kenny and Jericho. I think that'll be a better match, which is crazy to say. Right. By the way, did you see what
see
the new wall?
I noticed that.
Yeah, I need to get that shirt signed. I put my Daniel Bryan Occupy Raw t-shirt in a shadow box. I need to get it signed. One day I will, somehow.
Well, SmackDown is coming here in June.
Hopefully, he's got to do an autograph signing somewhere. He really does.
SmackDown will be here in June, so.
We going?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will finally get to see Nakamura live.
Yay, me too. No, I actually
saw him at WrestleMania.
I really like him as a heel, by the way. Any other surprise returns in the...
There was several NXT guys. I mean, you figured that was going to happen, though, just because of, you know, it's 50 fucking people.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anybody else that was just
Hornswoggle.
A big shock. Yeah, Hornswoggle.
Let's see.
The whole Mike Kanellis getting...
Tucker Knight, he came from NXT. Ray. Roderick Strong was in it.
Yeah.
Roddy.
And he lit up Daniel Bryan's chest.
Was he the one that did the smash on Daniel? That's awesome. Shane McMahon was in it and took a big bump through a table. Right?
Yeah.
Great Khali. Of course they're going to have something
right
with Great Khali.
But it's like all the surprise guests, they threw out immediately. I mean, I think the only one that wasn't a surprise, or that was a surprise if they hadn't announced him, I don't remember if they did or not, was Ray, who actually did pretty well.
But everyone knew he was coming in for
it. Yeah.
Yeah, the NXT guys.
But I mean,
guys,
everybody else that was a surprise, like Kali, great, the sumo guy.
He was in 30 seconds.
Hornswoggle. It was funny. Mike Kanellis got thrown out in 2.5 seconds. And everybody was like, that might be a record. That might be a record. And then, you know, finally on SmackDown or whatever, they did an interview with him. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. It wasn't a record. And then he got this whole promo about how he was so great because he didn't break that record. And he was like, you know, I didn't break the record, but Daniel Bryan did break the record for longest time in a match. And so basically neither one of us won. So we're pretty much the same.
Braun Strowman broke the record of 12 people being eliminated.
Yep.
And Daniel Bryan broke the longevity record for lasting an hour and 16 minutes in that match. That's
76
incredible.
Minutes.
That's incredible. That's really it about Greatest Royal Rumble. I haven't been able to watch any wrestling this week, but we got a
battle. Infinity War took a toll.
Dude, I thought about that movie for 2 straight days after I saw it. That was all the. That was the only thing. I was like, this. That the ending was just fucked up, man.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, like, how come Black Widow would have made a, like, a really good movie? She has a very, could have a very interesting backstory. Why they haven't done that yet? That's.
What are you talking about, Black Widow or Scarlet Witch?
Black Widow.
Okay, because yeah, they've announced that they're making a Black Widow.
Oh, really?
Movie.
Good. Good.
And right now, the talk originally is, you know, it's going to be a Black Widow movie. It may be like an origin story or whatever.
I wouldn't want an origin story.
But then there was also talk that this could end up being just like an all-female superhero movie.
That'd be
with
cool.
Like her as the main character.
Her, Scarlet Witch, Captain Marvel.
Possibly.
Who else? Nebula.
I mean, yeah, you could Gamora. Possibly bring them in. You could bring in, what's her name from Black Panther, Okoye, or...
Yep. Yep. So let's go on the Backlash card. We've got Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Uh-oh. Kevin Owens, I think Sami Zayn are about to take a beating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is interesting because this is the first ever, or this is the first pay-per-view after the whole every pay-per-view announcement that every pay-per-view is going to be a joint pay-per-view.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, then what's the point of the... if they wanted to do that, then I think you get rid of a title, preferably the Universal title, because it don't mean shit now.
Right.
And AJ Styles, or whoever the champion is with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, defends it on both brands.
Right. That's how they originally did with the brand split.
Yeah.
But, I think it's a cost-cutting thing, you know, because if they cut back, you know, I mean, this is basically cutting back, like, 7 or 8 pay-per-views
which is fine with me because that's...
But, I mean, if you think about it already, this is the third pay-per-view this month.
Yeah, and...
In this pay-per-view,
The build has been horrible.
Yeah, it feels really weak because
all the build was...
For Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And then WrestleMania was only 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
You haven't had any kind of build for this, and it's not like a typical... Backlash how it used to be, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, 10, 15 years ago, where it was pretty much like everybody getting their rematches from WrestleMania, right. So you didn't need a huge build. But now they're just throwing matches together.
Yeah, it's because you got, like, Daniel Bryan, Big Cass. I get it, Big Cass has been attacking Daniel Bryan, but I would like to see Big Cass, the reason he attacked it was because Miz aligned himself with Big Cass. That would make a lot of sense to me. You know, and the Miz could be like, or Big Cass could be like when Miz had Alex Riley, you know. Gotta admit, Cass looked pretty good in a suit, coming out in a suit. You know, come out, you know, just like I said, be like Alex Riley.
Yeah.
Come out and looking good with the Miz, be his muscle, and it helps the Miz out too. Gives him a way to cheat to win.
Yeah, have Daniel Bryan have to go through Cass a couple times before he gets that match with Miz.
Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe. That'll be a good match.
It'll be a good match. It's pointless why they're doing it since they switch shows.
Yep.
But
Carmella and Charlotte Flair. I think Carmella's going to cheat to win, which I'm perfect.
I hope so.
I'm perfectly fine with. They don't need it in the title.
I really think it'll be, Charlotte wins, but she doesn't win the title.
Right. Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss.
It should be good.
Yeah, it should be all right. I mean, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. Welcome to 14 fucking years ago.
But I read something interesting about that. They have wrestled each other. They're like the only two wrestlers that... You know, this guy could find that have wrestled each other for 4 different titles over the years.
Interesting. Still don't give a shit about this match.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone knows my thoughts on Randy Orton by now. I shouldn't have to explain them.
Have you always hated Randy Orton?
I think so.
I mean, even like in Evolution and during that time?
I was more, when Evolution was around, I was more intrigued by Batista.
Right.
Because I thought this is the future of the company. You know, and then you tell me like, yeah, it's hilarious you say that. He's older than Triple H. But I was always more intrigued by Batista, and I really liked Triple H in that role. And I just never really dug Randy Orton. And I think the problem with him I have with him now is he's just too safe in his matches. He doesn't take chances. You know, right. He had to be talked into that big moves, that big curb stomp RKO that Seth came up with in that WrestleMania a few years back. He had to be talked into that because it was just, you know, it broke the mold of his normal matches.
Right.
And he, I don't know, he's just not, to me, he's not that great on the mic either. And there's just, I've never had any intrigue for him.
I've always liked him, you know, wrestler-wise. I mean, he truly does seem like he is the closest one to, like, his persona, like, in real life compared to
a
wrestler.
Dick.
Like, he seems like just a total dick.
Yeah, Fred's wife. Was on a plane with him from San Luis to lived, and he's a dick. And apparently his wife, she was like vaping on the plane while they were telling you can't vape or smoke on an airplane. And yeah, it just seems like
the type. But yeah,
he just seems like a douche. That's he's a creep. You know, Seth Rollins versus The Miz. That'll be a good match, but I think we know the outcome.
Yeah.
Now, it would be interesting if Miz wins this match. That would break. He would tie Jericho's record for IC
title. And that's the only reason I see it happening.
I think they can hold off on it. Miz still has a few years before he.
But, I mean, I can see it being they treat this kind of like the Cena thing right now. They go ahead and get him this one where it ties it, and then he's going after that record for a while.
And then your WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Match AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a no disqualification
match.
So I could see them putting the title on Nakamura here. Because, you know, they didn't do it at WrestleMania. That would have been the perfect time to do it. So let's just do it at Backlash. Now, but that means he can get a legal low blow in.
Right.
Or it could be, you know, he goes for the low blow AJ. It sets AJ up to put him in a submission or something. So there's good setup here for what they may want to do in this match.
Yeah.
So, well, overall, the build is just... I don't really have much to talk about with this card because the build on it has just been... Eh.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they haven't had hardly any time. I mean...
Right. Everything was
if
just
it hadn't
for,
have been for the Greatest Royal Rumble, it would have probably worked out because they had basically 3 weeks from WrestleMania to do this. But they had to build up for the Saudi Arabia show, and then a week later, you have this pay-per-view. And it's just not enough time to get anything done.
So I put the call out to Twitter for some questions to ask us. You know, talk with the fans.
Because why not? Yeah.
Kevin Sloan at KevinSloan13 asked, what are your feelings on the Backlash card and your thoughts on Kane running for mayor? We just discussed the Backlash card. I'm not too excited about it just because the build's been bad. But Kane running and winning. He's now the mayor on the other that other side of Tennessee. On Knox County.
Now, is he?
I read it today. He's officially. He officially won the mayor. He officially won the votes.
Because I had read that won him like the to run to actually run for it against this woman.
Oh,
who's?
I thought. Okay.
I think that you know it was like the I can't think of the term because politics.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if that's the case. It's interesting that he's running, but...
Like, I think he won the primary
gets
him to the actual election or whatever.
You know, Kane has always been a smart gentleman. I hope if he does win the mayor of Knox County, he's very successful, even though I really don't care about that side of the state. They're all a bunch of assholes. Well, Knoxville's not so bad. It's that Nashville area, man. There's some...
Yeah, but that's a lot further east than Nashville.
Yeah, but, I mean, the pretentiousness...
I mean, that's Dan's side of the state now.
Right.
You know.
The pretentiousness of Nashvillians just gets to me.
They're so much better than Memphis.
Oh, they really think that.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go into that discussion.
I mean, there's plenty of reasons that that back that up.
You know what pisses me off is, like, to tie it into wrestling, Ring of Honor will run shows in Nashville. Like, Ring of Honor. And I'm trying to get, I'm telling them, Minglewood Hall would be a great destination for you guys. DeSoto Civic Center would sell out a Ring of Honor show.
You know, Memphis is a far bigger wrestling city than Nashville will ever be.
But they'll get a better crowd.
But Memphis gets a lot of heat just for being a dangerous city.
Yeah, well, like I said, do it in the DeSoto Civic Center.
Yeah, do it south of Memphis.
Do it in South Haven. And I think they would have a good turnout, too.
Oh, they absolutely would.
And, like, I try to get Evolve. Evolve could come down to Minglewood Hall, which is in a good area of town. And I think they'd fill the place up. I'd love to see Matt Riddle. I really want you to see Matt Riddle wrestle live and get to meet the guy. Just so, bro. You know, he greets everyone. Bro. Our buddy Arnez at Arnez8706. After two losses to Brock, where does Roman go from here? And I'm gonna let you answer that.
Right now, I don't know. Because, I mean, forever it was Roman Reigns is taking... I mean, they had this supposedly planned for almost a year. You know, the plan at WrestleMania is for Reigns to beat Lesnar and take the title, and Reigns is going to be the guy from now on. And it didn't happen. And then we're like, okay, they just wanted to throw a swerve because everybody knew that was going to happen. So... at the Greatest Royal Rumble, he's going to take it then. Didn't happen. And now there's a lot of talk that they're saying that, you know, Reigns just isn't going to work. As much as we've tried, it's not working with him, and they may go with Braun Strowman. But so, now where that puts Reigns, I don't know.
IC title, maybe? Put him in a tag team? Dean Ambrose comes back, and they go after the tag titles?
They could.
Yeah, because Dean's got to be close to returning, right?
Right.
He has to be, so.
But, I mean, I love Braun Strowman. I really think he deserves a title other than
I'm not ready to see him.
Less than 24-hour tag team champ.
See.
But I really think Reigns deserves this.
And I do, too. And the problem, I do have one problem with Braun winning the championship in, have you seen the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO? I just watched that recently. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And he was never world champion.
Nope.
And I kind of, after hearing them say, like, who would beat him, you know, and I was like, man, that's a great thought. And I kind of, now that's in my head, like, you know, who would beat Braun Strowman if Braun Strowman was the champion and the guy, you know?
Well, I mean, Brock already has, but we're assuming that when Brock loses the title, he's gone.
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Reigns could be that guy. I mean, I think Reigns has beat him before, right?
Maybe.
When they had the feud about a year ago. I'm pretty sure Reigns beat him.
But, you know, for him to become a world champion, you have to think, like, he's way better than he was than the times he faced, you know, Reigns or anyone that has beaten him before that.
But then that just depends on who's the champion at the time. They could do a transitional champion type thing.
That's true. So I don't know, man. Yeah, it's a great question. Next superstar shakeup, move him to SmackDown. He goes after a different world title.
Yeah. I mean, that's a year away, though.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe, I don't know. I see him, if he's not going after the world title, I see him going either after maybe doing a program with Rollins.
I mean, if Ambrose is coming back soon, hopefully they'll do the whole Shield thing like they wanted to do before Ambrose got injured, and, you know, give the Shield another good run. That'll take care of him through SummerSlam or maybe even Survivor Series, and then work around something that way.
At Drew is okay. He's been on the show. Drew Wheeler. Drew Wheeler. I think he was like the Psycho Nacho Butcher or something like that. really, Drew is a sweetheart.
Good dude.
A very nice guy. And when I went to that show out in the old SPW show, I went out there with Dan with. I was nervous meeting all the guys because, you know, they probably just looked at me like, you know, it's just this guy that talks about wrestling.
It's a mark.
Drew, seriously was one of the most, was so approachable and was so nice to me. Thank you for that, Drew. At Drew is okay. Thoughts on Dan Matthews becoming 2018 Terry Funk and breaking his retirement? LOL, just kidding. I love you, Dan. I'm really happy Dan is wrestling more, wrestling again. And he's working with like Rick Wharton.
Yeah.
Like not only has he come back to wrestling, he's working with the WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So that is awesome, and I'm happy for Dan. And
he's had that itch for a while.
I'm happy, and I miss Dan. I miss talking to Dan because, quite frankly, these shows would go longer just because Dan would talk.
Yeah.
And it saves on my voice. I'm just kidding, Dan. But I'm really happy for my brother over there.
Because ever since he left, I've had to talk more.
Yeah. People have to get used to your voice. Yeah. Jeez. No, kidding. No, really happy. Really happy that Dan's wrestling some more. And I saw a Facebook post that he said he's getting bruises in places he didn't know he could get bruises on. So that's making him feel good again. At Nick Schifani, I hope I said that right. Nick Schifani at Nerd901 Nick. I think they do a podcast, Nerd901. It's really good. And here's a silly one. What do you think of Nakamura's new music? I think they added lyrics to keep fans from chanting along with the song since he's a heel now, but maybe I'm thinking too much about it. Ha ha. Completely agree.
I think that's exactly what it was.
Yep. I wouldn't put past WWE to do something like that. So Nick, we're right there with you.
But
and,
I mean, you know, that's one thing that they have to do nowadays, because I mean, you know, years ago when somebody turned face heel, didn't matter, their music didn't really change. But today the music has gotten so catchy.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, for some wrestlers that's all they have is their entrance.
Bobby Roode.
Right now, yeah, it's sad to say that.
It's gonna be if they ever turn him heel, it's gonna be interesting to see how they do it.
Yeah, they would have to change the music. I mean, he came out as a heel with that music, but that song got over so much he organically changed, you know, to a face, and they had to do that with Nakamura.
I'm just wondering how long it's gonna be till they do some sort of program with him and Triple H, either against each other or Triple H taking him under his wing, because it's going to happen. Bobby Roode is just Triple H light, you know?
Right?
Our buddy at TWA Warm Up Chris.
We know that guy.
The trivia guy that always screws us over. You know, he gives us the super kick of the trivia super kicks. He likes
only
to
in
do
tag
that.
Team matches. He's been pretty good to me during singles.
Shut up. should ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling merge? I think I like the relationship they have now to where they're just borrowing talent here and there.
Right.
Because that means you're going to get, if they completely merge, I don't know which company, you know, does New Japan buy out Ring of Honor from Sinclair, and then they're just exclusive. You're not, you know, you still have a lot of exposure in the States with Ring of Honor, and you can have New Japan talent come in, because that opens the door also for, like, you have you heard about this All In show in Chicago?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen some of the names for that?
Oh yeah, it's huge.
Okada need to talk the wife into taking a trip to Chicago with me, so we can, and you need to come.
It's a cool town. I like Chicago.
Well, that and like I think we should try to make an effort to go, because I think you would really want to see Okada wrestle
live.
I
really do want to see Okada wrestle.
And this would be the perfect chance to see it. Okada is going to be there, the Bullet Club, you know, all those guys. And it's self-financed. They're bringing in some sponsors.
Yeah.
But those guys are putting the money up themselves and trying to sell out a 10,000-person arena. I think they can do it. Cody Rhodes right now on the indies. This is the best. Cody. This is the best Cody Rhodes we've had ever in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
His WWE runs were good. I'm loving what they're doing with him right now. You know, this whole, they got themselves over and they keep themselves over. Like, you know, you wonder how much longer the Bullet Club can last as far as popularity goes. And you think it's going down. Then all of a sudden, bam, Hot Topic deal. Now the Bullet Club is even, you know, making even more money. I mean, it's incredible how well they've gotten themselves over and how well they've kept themselves over. And, you know, they keep the Bullet Club fresh. You know, new members, new leaders are always coming and going. You know,
it's not like NWO where everybody is in it.
You know, Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, different leaders. The only, you know, a couple of people have been in it since the beginning. You got Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, Takahashi.
Right.
They've been in it for a long time, but there's a good bit of turnover too. And then the Young Bucks, of course, which, you know, I put this on Twitter and I got to eat some crow on this podcast. I said a long time ago,
I saw this,
I would never be a fan of the Young Bucks, and man, I get them now. And they seeing them at Ring of Honor, changed my opinion about it. Like, okay, I see what these guys are now.
See, that's how I was with The Miz. You know, for years, I didn't, like, dislike The Miz or hate him or anything. I just didn't really care, just didn't get it. But the past 3 years or so, I mean, he's top of the food chain to me.
And Randy Orton still has never done that for me.
Give it time.
Let's see here. I think we got one more, then we can get out of here. So, anyway, should ROH and New Japan merge? No.
I think they should keep their working relationship as they have.
Don't change anything. The wheel is not broken, and it's working very well. If you could fix one thing next question comes from Chris Hollister as well, at TWA Warm Up Chris, part of the Trivial Warfare podcast. Go listen to them. If you could fix one thing about Raw, SmackDown, NXT, what would it be? Raw, simple, 2 hours.
2 hours, shorten it.
SmackDown, change your writing crew. Because all sorts of love to him for what he did in the ring, but you didn't know is not doing that brand any favors with what they're doing as far as writing goes.
I don't know. It's just.
So what would you change on Raw and SmackDown?
Well, I mean, Raw, obviously, drop it to 2 hours.
Other than 2 hours.
You know, give Reigns the title.
Okay.
Damn it. That. Or at least drop it off of Brock. I mean,
yeah,
I've never really had a problem with Brock Lesnar throughout all the years. I know you have. I mean, I would always look forward to Brock matches just because of his style.
When did that stop?
During that last couple of years when everything just became
German
suplexes and.
Not just suplexes, just German suplexes and F5s.
Yeah. And that was basically it.
And Kimuras.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it when Goldberg came out and just whipped his ass. I mean, I know a lot of people hated it because, you know, it lasted so short or whatever. But it was great seeing Brock Lesnar lose. Like, it's been a long time since somebody has had a title that I genuinely just wanted to see them lose. I mean, as a fan, typically, yeah. The whole point is, you know, if a heel has the title, you're paying your money to watch him, you know, somebody finally come in and beat him. And the longer he keeps it, the more you're roped in because you still want to see that person get their ass kicked. I mean, that's like what Triple H said years ago when he himself learned what the whole point of being a heel was. But, I mean, this is beyond just being a fan. This is, I don't want Brock Lesnar having that title anymore because of his special schedule and, you know, he truly is getting special treatment because we've brought it up many times. You know, they used to have that rule that they would bring up all the time that if you're the champion, you have to defend that title within 30 days or you're stripped of it. But he can go 2 or 3 months without even showing up and keeps it. So that's the one thing I would definitely change on Raw.
SmackDown.
I really don't know.
You can't use my answer other than changing writing it. There was a time there, like when they first did the brand split, SmackDown was kicking Raw's ass every week.
And then
Road Dogg took over, and that's kind of when the quality of the show
Like, I can't pinpoint what's really wrong with it. I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with SmackDown or anything, but it has slipped back down to the B show, you know?
It's the writing. It's what it is. Yeah. It's what it is. Now, there are some bright spots. Heel Nakamura is awesome on SmackDown. I like Carmella.
Oh, I've liked Carmella for a while.
Yeah, she's a great heel.
I wanted her to show up at WrestleMania and cash in.
That would have been so much better to end that match that way instead of just Flair killing the streak.
Right.
But
I think he questioned NXT too.
Yes,
what
NXT.
Would we change?
I really can't think of anything. You know, they tour well. They do like whenever they do a tour, they do it through. I think it's like, you know, they do three towns. So that gives the excitement about the brand up. I don't know. Bring the show to Memphis more.
That was going to be a cop out answer, but I mean, I don't get to watch it that often, but I mean, I never miss a takeover. I mean, I'm guaranteed to watch all those.
Let me ask you this about NXT: if they put it on a network, would you watch it more then? Like you could put it on your DVR if you could record it to your DVR.
For me, no, because I don't even have a DVR anymore. I don't have cable. I mean, technically I do through PlayStation View. That's kind of how it works.
Okay.
But No, I mean, it's no different than flipping on the...
The network.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering if it was... Yeah. You know, some people, if it was on a cable network, they may actually watch it more.
I mean, I love NXT. Like, anytime I watch it, whether it's just an actual weekly show or a takeover event, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But it's just... I think it's just fallen by the wayside because, you know, Raw, SmackDown, you know, no longer this is going to happen, but, you know, multiple pay-per-views a month. You know, I also try to keep up with Impact. I mean, I think it just, I've had to choose one to kind of drop, and because there's so much other wrestling that, you know, I try to keep up with.
Let me ask you this. Saturday Night Main Event, what if they did that on NBC or USA with NXT? I think that'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd be one thing I'd do. Maybe, you know, get NXT on USA a little bit more, just so a lot of people, you know, that go to WWE events may not have the network, which is shocking to me.
Right, because it's free every fucking month.
Right. You know. So I think getting that kind of exposure to where it's on USA, you know, maybe once a month, except on months when you have a takeover. So then the takeover is more special. But right. Even then, or even better, do one takeover a year on USA. Maybe the weekend of WrestleMania.
Right.
That would be huge. But you also want to get people to download or connect to the network.
Right.
But that would be something else. But you get a couple of network specials on. I think that would be a good fix for NXT, is get more USA specials out of NXT. Because they've done it once before. They've done an NXT show on the USA network. So you got NBC has other stations. You know, it has Sci-Fi or, you know, they're not going to put on like Channel 5 or anything like
that. Right, I understand that it's... They still kind of consider that their developmental area. So they want to keep it, you know, localized and film, you know, always in the same spot. But I think if they traveled more and did, you know, more televised shows from other cities, I think that would help them out a little bit. Right.
Yeah. That I like that idea the most. Mike, thank you everyone for our questions. Those were a lot of fun discussions. We like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week? I'll go the easy one with Braun Strowman for winning the...
Greatest Royal Rumble. All right.
I mean, they make it sound like it's a huge achievement. You know, he beat 49 other superstars. Well, technically he didn't, because he didn't come into like 39 or 41 or something. So, he didn't beat half of those people. But
okay.
Still, he's going to be in the record books now of being the first winner of, you know, a 50-man Rumble.
I'm going to go with Roderick Strong for making Daniel Bryan's chest look like a Buccaneers red jersey.
I think Corey Graves said it best. He kept saying he made his chest look like hamburger meat.
Oh, I saw his chest and I'm like, is that like one dude that did that or did like several? And then so it was just mainly Roderick?
Mainly Roderick.
Oh, wow.
But,
that's awesome.
I mean, there was obviously other pops he took too, but yeah.
Folks, we are going to get out of here. The easiest way to get to this podcast is to subscribe on iTunes, and while you're there, leave a 5-star review. Visit the website oversellpod.com and check out the Amazon link while you're there. There's no extra fees or hidden fees or anything like that. It's just you shopping on Amazon like you already are going to do. You can also follow us on Twitter. We are at oversellpodcast. facebook.com/oversellpodcast. You can follow me. I am at Derek, DerickOverSell.
At WolfMike23.
Also, I think, no more also. We're getting out of here.
That's it.
You've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.